be able to carry them. So, everybody hear me? All right. Well, it's good to see everybody here. Glad that you're with us today. Hope that you had a blessed week and avoided all the weather that we had, right? We had been blessed ourselves, as you know, many of you know, that we had got away last week, just Sarah and I, and had a great week, and God protected us. He protected our home while we were away. The tornado hit within 3/4 of a mile of our house, but nothing there. And then we, on the morning that we left, we got word that there was weather coming to where we were at, and we missed it. So God being the gracious God that He is, and you know, that kind of sounds a little superficial there, doesn't it? God's a great God, whatever He does to us, right? Whatever happens in our life, God is a great God, amen? He's not promising roads of pathways of delight and pleasure all the time. He's a great God no matter what, because He found us as we were sinners, and through the Holy Spirit introduced Jesus Christ, and through our faith in Him, we get to be Christians and children of God. Amen? And you know what? We're going to learn about that today. We're going to talk more about that today. Nice little segue for it, huh? God's just a good God. So what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk in John 14. We're going to continue in our I Am series that we had started several weeks ago. And today we're going to see Jesus. Where's my Sunday school class at now? Jesus, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's right. You all have heard this verse many, many times. And you've probably heard several sermons over it. But most of you have probably heard a funeral message from this particular verse. You've heard an evangelist lead someone to Christ through this verse. You've maybe even heard an apologist defend the Trinity and the sake of God through such a verse as this. And we're going to look at John 14:1-7 here this morning. But I want to remind you that from the outset of this particular sermon series, We wanted to, our intention through this series, if you remember from week one, is to increase our dependence upon God as the God that He is. And we as believers, we as a church must prioritize who God is in our life. We must love, we must elevate, and we must follow Jesus Christ with our life. That's our call. Yes, discipleship. You know I got a high priority on discipleship. And yes, acts of service is a direct fruit of this transformation that Jesus has within our hearts. But still our priority is to love, to make known, and to follow Jesus Christ. And through this series, we're going to see that Jesus is just that in so many ways. And today, we're going to see in three ways that Jesus, through the way, through the truth, and through the life, that Jesus is worthy to follow and be just that for us. So as we get started in John 14:1-7, as believers, as those who are transformed by the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to see just exactly how God's going to work in our lives. So if you have your Bibles open and you're ready, we're going to begin in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. And it reads, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Heavenly Father, we come before you. We bow humbly as your children, trusting that as God, that as Savior, as Lord, that as we bow a knee before you, as we bow our hearts before you, know with great certainty that you are the way, you are the truth and the life. And Lord, may our hearts be filled with joy, with confidence and assurance as we love you more, as we follow you holistically, and we allow you to be the vehicle by which we live. And Lord, as we do that, I pray that as a broken preacher, that I do not distort your word, that your truth be revealed to each heart and each mind here this morning, just the way you intended. I trust you and depend upon you here today with your word, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, as we look here in John chapter 14 and verse 1, he starts out with, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Now, these are very encouraging words. And if you know the book of John well enough, you know that, if you don't know, let me just tell you that John chapter 1 through John chapter 12, John is basically living out or teaching and explaining the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Basically, he's just saying, because of the way John handles it, he's talking about the ministry of Jesus Christ in the first 12 chapters. Well, you know there's 21 chapters in the book of John. So what's happening then? From chapter 13 to chapter 17 basically can be consumed up, and some people teach in just sheer hours. From chapter 13 to chapter 17, Jesus is with his disciples and he's teaching them the things they need to know in order to continue in the ministry after he's gone. And throughout his ministry, throughout his life with those disciples, he has told them that he's going to die. He's told them that on that day he's going to die, that all the disciples are going to scatter and run away from him. And then on that day that he does, that their person that they trust in, that they follow and consider to be their leader, Peter, is going to deny me three times. So he's telling them all of this. They know all of these things, and he says, "But." And then it'd be a good spot for me to see this "but." "Let not your hearts be troubled." There's good things that's going to happen. And it's encouraging for us is that when we're living our life, when we're going through these difficult things, when we get the news that we really don't want to hear, we've got a God that says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. I've got a plan." And he goes on and he reveals this plan for them, doesn't he? He goes on and says, "In my Father's house." Oh, first he says, "Believe in God. Believe also in me." That's key. No matter what else happens, no matter and anything else in that we're going to have to go through, if we believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ, believe in the Holy Spirit, then we indeed are going to find joy. We're going to find pleasure. We're going to find peace. We're going to find relief in whatever it is we're walking through. Now, there's some things that we're going through in our life that can be pretty big. And I'm not going to dilute any of them down, because we deal with some pretty major things in this world. But there's a God that's always bigger. There's always a God on the other side. If we believe in God through faith in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, there is nothing that will separate us from the love of God that we looked at last week in Romans chapter 8. Be encouraged. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. So in verses 2 through 5, we see this reminder of what all Jesus has been teaching them, saying that there's a better place. I know that things are in this world. This is all we know. This is our comfort zone because this is all we've ever known. But trust me, there's something better. There's a place worth me dying for and then coming back to get you, to take you to. This is the place he's talking about here. So I go and prepare a place for you, and I go and prepare it for you. I'm going to come again and take you to myself where I am going so that you can be there also. This is encouragement. This is great joy, but not the best joy. We're getting ready to get to that because Thomas says, we don't know. What is this way you're talking about? John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. We're going to look at each of these together this morning, or individually this morning. This way that we're talking about can actually be translated as path. And this would have hit home in John in this first century time period, because that's how the religious leaders, this is how the high priest would teach, in that you're going the way. You're on this path. And what they're saying is that as you walk, as you do life, is the way I like to do it, as you're doing life, be a Christian. I like to say it that way. Well, what they would say, as you're doing life, obey the law. As you're going to work, as you're tilling the ground, as you're selling in the marketplace, just obey the law. You'll be fine. But Jesus is saying, as you're doing life, as you're tilling the ground, as you're selling in the marketplace, do as I would do. Follow me. Trust me. Live out this Christian life as you go. Terry was telling us about the barista there at his coffee shop as a believer. As he's doing life, he's sharing the gospel. As he's doing life, he's not ashamed of his faith in Jesus Christ. On your path that leads you to God, just follow me. Just do as you've been doing for the last 3 years is what Jesus is saying. And as we walk, we talked about it in Sunday school this morning already. We got a lot of things going on in our life. There's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of things that would keep us from feeling comfortable and with exactly where we're at, because there's always this thing we got to find to kind of fix what's going on in our life, don't we? I'm reminded of a time that I went to a county fair, and I met up with a buddy, and he was really excited. He's like, man, let's go through this maze of mirrors. And his excitement was so cool. Like, we're just going to follow this guy right in there. And he starts right in there, and he looks back over his shoulder and says, follow me. And within about six steps, boom, he hits this mirror. His head snapped back. And we all just bust out laughing. It's the funniest thing there is. And we hysterically are laughing. And we're sitting there. After we compose ourselves, we start putting our hands up, right? Trying to figure out, we're not going to bump into the mirror like him, but we got to get out of here, right? So we try to get out of this maze of mirrors. And after a few minutes, I can see the carny. He kind of like drops his shoulder a little bit, and which draws my attention to his hand. And he kind of starts pointing in the direction that we're supposed to go. He's showing us the way out. And after we look down, we begin to notice that they can actually move those mirrors around on slides and make the maze just a little bit different. So that if you think you know the way, they can trick you. They can change that maze. Even though our buddy had successfully navigated through the maze before, and I'm sure he remembered exactly which way to go, they changed it up on him. Life can change up on you. But what better way than to follow the one that knows the way? What better way to go navigate life, to be on a path behind someone that knows the way? Jesus says, I am the path that will lead you to God. I am the way in which to follow. Jesus walks this path before us. We just got to follow him. We just got to follow him. He says also, I am the truth. Now, this Greek word is aletheia, which really can be translated, in this case, illumination. Now, if you remember back when we saw Jesus say, I am the light of the world, we explained that light as illumination. At that point, if you remember, they had this the Feast of Tabernacles, and in the treasury room, they lit a bunch of candles at night so that the temple would be glowing all night long as a representation of God's presence with them through a cloud, a pillar of fire at night while they were in the wilderness. the same word, illumination, saying that I am going to reveal this truth to you. Truth is being revealed. And David tells us in Psalm 119, hide your word in my heart, O Lord, so that I do not sin against you. And a perfect illustration of that is that as we read, we can read the Bible and we can try our best to understand everything that we read, but let's just be honest. We ain't going to catch everything we read. Oh, everything we read is not going to hit home with us each and every time we open the Bible, is it? If you think so, I'm just saying, you're better than I am, because there's times that it doesn't. But how many times in your life, if you're open with your faith, just out of the blue, in normal conversation, something that you had read, that you thought at the time didn't make any sense or had any purpose, illumined your life, and maybe even the life of someone else. This is the picture that we get, this truth. This truth is of Jesus. He's illuminating the pathway that leads us to God. Now, when we were in Gatlinburg this week, there was a young waitress at one of the restaurants that we were at. She was very open about things, and we was able to get her to talk a little bit. And she begins to say some things that are going on in her life. And she said she's from Chicago and getting ready to go back to see her best friend. And I said, well, how long have you been here? And she told me just a few short months. Well, what would bring you here? Why would you leave Chicago, the place that you really enjoy? Why would you come to Gatlinburg? She says, to find peace. Uh-oh, right? Wrong words to a preacher. So I let her run for a little while. She comes back. And I get her talking some more. And she says some more things. She's really open, like I say. She's really giving us a lot of information. And I say, do you want to know where true peace comes from? Or where you can find true peace? And she says, go ahead, I've heard of many places. And I said, well, what have you heard? I want her to talk. I want her to just open everything up so I can use all the things that she's sharing in order to share the gospel with her, right? So she says, I've heard of Minnesota. I've heard of, you know, she starts listing off all these places. And she said, and then she turns and looks. Okay, now it's your turn. Where can you find true peace? And I said, no matter what your address is, the only peace you're going to have is true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith in Christ is the only way you're going to have peace. I've been doing this for a long time. I try to, every single day, have a gospel conversation with somebody. And I can tell she didn't want to hear it. I could tell her response was, I've heard this stuff before. And she changes the subject real quick. I trust in the Lord God enough to know that at some point that He's going to do what He does in her life. And right now is not that time. And I can accept that because I trust in God to accomplish it. So I let her run with some more conversation. She does some more things. She brings her check back to us, right? That's the part we always like about the mail, right? So she brings a check back, and we're getting ready to leave, and I give her a nice little tip there. And I said, but let me just say that even though I forget how it really went down, I just wanted to remind her again. And my words at the end were something along these lines of, no matter where you go to find peace, I hope that you find the true peace in Jesus Christ at some point. Know that I'll be thinking of you. In some way or another, I said, know that I will be thinking of you. I knew that was going to be the last time I would probably see her here on this earth. But my prayer every day has been something along the lines, Lord, may I see her again in heaven. Will you put someone else in her life to constantly identify you as Lord and Savior? This illumination in her life. She needs that truth. How do I go back to that? How is it that I go back to the same story every time? Because that story works. Amen? That story, that understanding of who Jesus Christ works. I've lived by railroad tracks most of my adult life. And when you live by railroad tracks, you begin to ask yourself quite a few questions. you begin to notice things. The first introduction to railroad tracks is I had to cross over railroad tracks in order to get home, whether by foot or by vehicle, because sometimes the train would be stopped right in the entryway into my home, and I would literally crawl underneath the train in order to get to the house and then go back and get my car later. So when you're sitting there and you're around these trains, you begin to notice things. If there's only two engines on the front of that train, there's going to be about 90 cars behind those two. If there's three engines, there could be 150 cars behind those engines. And if there's like two engines in the front and then one about 30 cars deep, you're going to be sitting there a while. So you begin to notice things about trains. But let me tell you something that you may not know about trains, is that the width of the train tracks are 4 foot, 8.5 inches. 4 foot, 8.5 inches. And you think to yourself, that's an obscure number, right? If you've done anything in construction and building and everything, you'd be thinking, what is 4 foot, 8.5 inches? If you go 5 foot, you're a little bit wider, a little bit more stable. You go up a little higher, all sorts of things, right? 4 foot, 8.5 inches. So I began asking, why 4 foot, 8.5 inches? The answer to that question is that the first train tracks in America were built by those in Britain. Because the train tracks in Britain and England is 4 foot, 8.5 inches. Okay, well, why are they 4 foot, 8.5 inches in England? Because the ruts that were made by the wagons were 4 foot, 8.5 inches wide. So they laid great train tracks right on top of the ruts. Well, why were the buggies and wagons 4 foot, 8.5 inches wide? Because the Roman chariots in ancient time had a wheelbase of 4 foot, 8.5 inches. Well, why did the Roman chariots have a wheelbase of 4 foot, 8.5 inches? Because that's how much room you need for the butts of two war horses to pass through. So whenever you stop by a train, you can think to yourself, thank you, Rome, for having this train in my life. The butts of those war horses determined how wide it's going to be. And still today, in our 2024, we're impacted by something that was set out a long time ago. God's Word is living and breathing and sharper than any two-edged sword. It has accomplished all that it has accomplished in each of your lives and throughout this world, and it's never changed. God's Word is good. God's Word is truth. We can share the truth of the gospel and know that it is good. It will never change, and it is effective. So God is the way. He's the path that leads us to God. He is the truth that illumines this path that gets to God, and He's the life. The life is this, transformation. This life that Jesus is for us is indeed the destination. This regeneration of our life is the destination that we're striving to get to. We can go through this life and we can live this life as much as we want, the best way that we know how. And it may be opposite of what the truth is. I was called to a house. We had built this house a little while back. Actually, pretty recent. Within a few months, we finished it up. But there was some maintenance thing that I needed to do. And it was going to require a ladder. And it was a two-story home. And it had a basement. So it's way up there for where I had to go. So I get the biggest ladder, you know, that in order to reach that high, the bigger the ladder, the heavier it's going to be. And it, like I say, we had just built the house. So the ground is still settling and everything, right? And it's still soft from the topsoil and the new grass. And so I'm trying to put this really heavy ladder by myself up there. And then again, we built the house. I knew what was going on, right? So I packed this very big ladder by myself. I get the thing stood up and I figure out what the footing is going to be on this soft ground so that it don't fall over whenever I finally get all the way up there. To get all the way up to the edge of the roof and look and see that I'm 10 foot away from where I needed to be. That was a lot of work. And I had to climb down, move the ladder, reposition the footing where it needed to be in order for me to climb back up there in order to do what I was supposed to do. We can go through a lot of life and realize that we got our ladder on the wrong wall. We can go through life realizing that we're trusting this world. We're trusting everything else other than the way and the truth. And realize it's leading us to the wrong life. Jesus says, I am the way, the pathway that leads you to God. I am the truth, the illumination to this pathway that will lead you to God. And I am the life. When you trust me and you put your ladder against my wall, it ends you up right exactly where you need to be. You will be regenerated in your faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to finish up. I know we got communion, but I want to finish this verse. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now this is a very strong, this is a very absolute statement here. And it's a hard truth. No one comes to the Father but through, there's no other way. There's no other wall you can lean your ladder on and expect to find the truth, the life, and the way. No one. The funny thing about that in the Greek, the word no one in the Greek means no one. It's an absolute statement. The only way for salvation in this world is through faith in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people out there that says that there's different things. In today's world, it's really a lot more prominent than it ever has been because of the internet, because of social media, because of so many things. Everybody's got a way in order to find true happiness. Everybody's got their own way in order to get to heaven. You see on the back of cars those bumper stickers that say coexist. And on that, they spell out the word coexist with all the different labels or symbolisms of all these various faiths out there. Look at it closely. There's the Muslim faith. There's Islam faith. There is Jewish faith. There's Christian faith. And all these symbols are made up in order to spell out the word coexist. And then what that bumper sticker means is that whatever you want to believe, all beliefs lead to heaven. It's called syncretism. And what they're doing is they're taking their faith saying, I believe this, but I don't believe this. So I come over here from this faith and I believe it. They want to take what they want to believe in order to fit their life and say, this is salvation. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Yes, this is hard truth. All of your other faith, no matter who you're talking to, no matter what coffee shop you go to and who you talk to about your faith and everything, unless it's about Jesus Christ, then you have to confront them with the fact that no one comes to the Father except through me. And it's a hard truth. I've been in those situations. I've been in those coffee shops. I've been in those people's homes where I've sat down and have to explain to them this hard truth. And I have to tell them every time, yes, it's hard truth. This is the best way I can explain it for you. But I need you to understand, just because it's hard truth doesn't mean that it's not truth. This is the only truth that I can give you. The most prominent, necessary truth I can give you is that you have to have faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone in order to find true salvation, to find this eternal life. He's the only way. But when we find that, when we're on the path of the way. And we're living by the truth that illumines our souls before a holy God. And we have been regenerated by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and have true life. We can verify confidently that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that He is the only way. Jesus is that life. He is that way. I know we got communion today, and I'll be honest, we got kind of forgot. So this transition may be a little rocky for you. But this is what we celebrate. As believers, we get to come to the table because we believe that Jesus is the only way, that Jesus has met us, He has put us on that path, and we can live by the truth that He's given us. And today, we get to realize, we get to sit here for just a minute, and say, God, have I been open with You with everything? Have I trusted You in every area of my life? Because Your death on the cross in my place took that sin away from me. Have I trusted You with everything in my life? And then we get to rejoice. Because His blood was good enough. His blood is the only blood that can wash away every single sin in your life. No matter who you are, no matter what age you are, what gender you are, what color you are, what your address is, faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone as the way, the truth, and the life equals salvation that we get to celebrate today at this table, knowing that He has washed away all of our sins. So as the deacons come forward, give you that benefit to really investigate yourself in this I Am series. We've wanted you to investigate yourself. Or have you truly trusted Jesus with everything? And if you've never made that faith commitment, we ask that as these elements are passed by, that you take that moment to truly ask, do I believe in Jesus Christ? And if the answer to that question, if you're true with yourself, and you say no, we want to invite you that let's have that conversation. But if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we ask you to freely take these elements and celebrate with us the gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ.